In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I thank the Fathers of St. Bishoy and Archangel Michael Church for the invitation to come and speak to you this evening on the eve of the feast of St. Shenouda, the Archimandrite, and of course tomorrow evening will be the evening of the feast of St. Bishoy. The topic that I have been given to speak to you about comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 12. And it's quite a long topic, actually. It's actually, when we look at it, we'll find that there are actually three sermons in the one verse. The verse says, "Rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer." And we could actually break these up into three different sermons, because each topic is a sermon on its own, but in the time giving, we try to sort of give a summary of what St. Paul was trying to indicate to us and contemplating on those three topics. In chapter 12, we find that St. Paul is trying to lead us as believers, lead us in the way that we should live. In verse 12, he mentions that rejoicing in hope, which is the first thing. When we think of hope, we hope in itself, we feel this joy. Then when we know that hope is actually, you know, talking about God. When we say hope or thinking of hope, we think of God. And St. Paul concluded, the pillars of Christianity in Corinthians chapter 13:13, when he said these three are carrying these three, which is faith, hope, love, and the greatest of all is love, in Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13:13. So we find that these three, faith, hope, and love, are the three things that are the pillars of Christianity, and these are the things that carry the church or carry the believers to heaven. So they are very, very important: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, because this is what will continue in heaven. When St. Paul talked about love being the greatest thing, it is the thing that will continue to heaven, something that we acquire here on earth, and then it will continue with us to heaven. When we reach everything good, then hope will end. So hope and faith usually end. If we go to heaven, we won't need any, we won't need faith, we won't need hope. But what will continue is love. So one of the saints said that faith takes you by the hand and takes you to the doors of heaven. Hope takes you to the doors, hope takes you from the doors of heaven to the bosom of the Lord. And love is the one that continues with the Lord into his heart forever and ever. And as if faith and hope will be the ones that go back to the earth and take somebody else. So there is, you know, this understanding that faith and hope are a temporary thing that we need on earth that will take us to heaven. And love is the one that stays forever and ever. It will stay in the heart of God forever and ever. What does it mean to have hope? What does it mean to have hope? Hope, as we said, means God. It means God himself, waiting on God. When we say hope, we hope in God. As believers, our hope is all in God. And in Psalm 39, verse 5, it says, "Blessed is he who his hope is in the Lord. Blessed are you when you make the Lord as your hope. You are blessed." And God will always respond to our hope. So hope is always... the meaning of it means never giving up on anything, no matter what the situation is. We believe that God will deal with our situation and will deal with our problem, and that he will solve our problem. When we have hope, we hope in God. God will deal with our problems and our tribulation. He who has the virtue of hope also looks at every difficult situation in a bright way. He looks at it in a positive outcome, and not in a disastrous way. If you have hope, the hope in God, you'll always look at things as being a bright way, not negative and not being upset, but knowing that God will one day solve the problems. And this is the hope that we need to acquire as Christians. The hopeful is not usually affected, the person who is hopeful is not usually affected by fear or worries or grief or sorrow or even given up. The person who is hopeful, he puts everything in the hands of God. He doesn't worry too much, he doesn't fear, he doesn't have the grief, he doesn't get upset, and he's always waiting on the Lord to solve the problem that he may be in, or the situation, or the tribulation. There are different kinds of way we can hope. The first thing is that we hope in entering into heaven. We all have this hope. Yani, we are hoping that we all go to heaven one day, and that we are hoping while we're living on earth, that at the end of our life, we will go to heaven and be with the Lord. This is our hope as Christians. And this is the difference between the non-Christian. The non-Christian, you'll find that he has no hope for the afterlife. You know, he believes that all he lives on earth and that's it. And that's why a lot of people who are non-Christians are always fearful about death. They're always fearful that, you know, where they're going to go when they die, because they have no hope in anything else beyond this life. And you'll find that the people who are non-Christians, who don't believe in the Lord, will be fearful at the time of their death as well. And we see this all the time, people who are so far away from God, how they're so fearful at that moment of the death, whilst those who have hope in heaven are always joyful at the time of their death. And when we go to hospitals and we see people who are dying, and for example, like, you know, the faithful people, the people who love God so much, we see so many things that on their faces, and what they say at the last minute of their death is a very encouraging and very hopeful thing that we always witness. They would say, they would see the Lord Jesus Christ maybe, you know, grasping them, St. Mary, they'll talk about St. Mary, they'll talk about all these holy things. And this is the hope. On the other hand, the person who does not, you know, is far away and is sinful on the deathbed, he's so fearful. And there was one instance when we actually witnessed a person saying, "Please don't take me, please don't take me, please don't take me." This is, you know, the minute before he was about to die. Obviously there is something, some spiritual forces, perhaps demons or whatever, trying to take him, and he was very fearful about where he was going. So we always, as Christians, have faith, and we have hope that we will go to heaven. And this is what makes us live day to day, that our hope is in the heavenlies. You know, and that's why a lot of the saints, where was their hope? The hope was to be in heaven. And they would always wait for that moment. So they're living in hope. As we said, that this is the door, that this, the hope is what takes us to the bosom of the Father. And that's what they were always waiting for. We hope in our problems to be solved by God. This is another kind of hope. We all, you know, as Christians, you know, there is so much we can do, you know, as humans. There is so much we can do physically to try and solve our problems. But sometimes we don't reach the solution. But we always have hope that God will continue and he will solve our problems, and that he will be the one that will make us joyful. So it doesn't matter how long it takes, but we are hopeful that God is going to solve our problems and find an end solution to our problems. When we have hope, we know that one day the tribulation or the problem will be solved. We have hope that it will be solved. So we're always seeking God to solve our problems, to solve our tribulation, to solve whatever situation that we may be in, that we may be stressing about. We have hope that we will be saved from our sins or our habits, that God will forgive us, and that we be patient, that he is patient with us. We're so often, you know, like falling into sin, and, you know, and we need the hope that God will always deliver us from our sins and from our habits. You know, there's so many repetitive kind of sins that we do, and we're always hopeful that God will return us back or help us to overcome these repetitive sins. That's why we should never give up on giving, never give up on trying to repent. Never give up on trying to stop the bad habits that we may do. Because there's always hope that God will always try to help us. And nothing is impossible for the Lord. You may think that, you know, I'll never give up smoking, for example. But no, of course you can give up smoking. God is able to make you give up smoking. God can give you a certain grace to give up smoking. Somebody might say, you know, there's no way that I'm going to lose weight. And a lot of us like to lose weight, you know. And, you know, we tried so many diets. And we never succeed in our diets. Even when we do lose weight, you know, it takes us 3 months or 4 months to lose, you know, 3 kilos. And it takes us 1 day or 2 days to put on 5 kilos. So we find this. But did you know that that God can actually help you to lose weight? Have you ever tried God to you know, have the hope that God will give you that strength to lose weight and to give you that certain grace to quench your hunger? He can. Of course he can. God is possible. Now, I've actually seen it. And a lot of people, you know, it happens to me personally. Like, I feel that, you know, some people say, you know, I lost a bit of weight recently. And people keep on telling me, what did you do? And I kind of know. One day I just got up and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, give me grace to lose weight. And people don't believe that. People don't believe that God can actually, the Holy Spirit can actually help you to lose weight if you are determined and you really ask the Lord to help you. We can have that hope that God will help you to lose weight. And this is just an example. So we can have hope that God will help us to overcome our sins. And never say that there's no way that God is going to help me in this sin. No, God can help you. Have that hope that God will help you. Never say that my sin is, I'm too deep in the sin. I'm too deep in my habits, you know, I'm just used to it. I've been doing it for so long, you know, I cannot give it up. No, we have hope that God can help you to give up those sins or those habits that we may be falling in. Have hope in repentance, you know. And don't think that your sin can never be forgiven. This is what the devil uses. The devil uses the fact that, you know, there's no way, you know, God is going to forgive you. You're always falling in the same sin. You always go and repent the same things. You come back, you do it again after a week or two. There's no hope for you. And this is what the devil tries to put in our minds. No hope for you in the sin that you are doing. No, there is hope. You know, we see it in many of the saints in the church and those in, you know, the old saints, but also today. We see today that, you know, young men and young people, they're so strong, you know, when they may have been living in sin for many years, but God gave them this grace that they're able to forgive up their sins and repent and come back to the Lord and have a holy and pure life. So never say that God, you know, God can never help me, or never say that God can never forgive me of my sins. This is a myth. This is what the devil uses. God forgives every sin. God can forgive, will forgive every sin. God is a compassionate Lord. The minute you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, he will forgive you straight away. And there's no question. You know, he's a very merciful Lord. You know, he's different to the mercies between us and people. We are not merciful to each other. We find it very difficult to forgive others. We find it very difficult to forgive our brothers and sisters. Even if they say we are sorry, we're still a bit difficult. Deep down, we still feel a bit of hurt. But God is different. God is not like that. When we sin against God, God is always patient for us to come back to him. And the minute we say that we are sorry, Lord, the Lord is open arms. The Lord is forgiving. The Lord will always wipe that sin away from the book of your life. And he'll never record it. He'll never recount it again or actually mention it again in the book of life. This is the difference in the beauty of the Lord. So we always have hope that the Lord will always give us repentance and he'll forgive us our sins. We have hope in everything good. So have hope in everything that will be good that will happen to you. Every Christian should have hope. You know, it's not a virtue that you should be striving to acquire. It's a sort of virtue that you should have. As a Christian, you should be hopeful and rejoicing in hope. And rejoicing that there is hope for us as Christians because God gives us that hope. And God is our hope. And God, there is something to long for, something to look for, something to to go to, or someone to go to, like our Lord, that He will give us that hope. And this is the basis of our faith. This is the foundation of our Christian faith, is that we have hope in God. He who has this virtue of hope looks at everything in a bright way, looks at every disaster that he may, every tribulation, in a bright way. He is never negative about anything. He's always hopeful that God is going to solve the problem. God is going to help him. God is going to take him out of that tribulation. St. Paul said, rejoicing, rejoicing in hope. This means that this person who has hope is always rejoicing. The person who has the foundations of hope is always rejoicing. He's always happy. That's what he meant. The person who has hope is always a joyful person. The opposite is the person who has no hope is always upset. He's always grumpy. He always feels this despair. He feels that there's so much pressure on him. That's the opposite of a person who has no hope. And we find this with drug addicts, you know, that when they get into drugs, they have no hope. They feel that there's no hope, and some of them become even suicidal, to the point that they, you know, there's no hope in their life. So the person who has no hope feels depressed, feels despair, feels there's no hope, there's no joy, there's no happiness whatsoever. And those who have hope, they feel that they're joyful because they know that they will go to heaven. Every hopeful person at the end of their life know that they will go to heaven. This gives us joy. What is more joyful than knowing that at the end of your life you'll go to heaven? This is a joyful thing. This is a great thing to always look forward to. Those who have hope in God listen to God listens to their prayers. Everyone who is hopeful knows that God is listening to them. They'll be joyful and know that God is listening to their prayers. Those who have hope, God will give them the desires of their hearts. So when you look for something, you ask for something from God, you feel joyful that God is going to give it to you. Whether He gives it to you in today or tomorrow or in 10 years, you have that hope that God is going to give it to you. So you feel joyful. You feel joyful that when you pray, God is listening to you. This is joy. This is the joyful. That's why it's important to rejoice in hope. Because when you have hope, you know God is listening. That you know that your request is written and it's been recorded in the book of life. It's recorded in the request book of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who have hope know that God's promises, know of God's promises, and they know what God can do. You know, like the people who are hopeful know that there are many promises that God has given us. Many promises that God has given His people. If you read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, you see how many promises God has given you, so you feel hopeful. See? When we read our Bible, read our Gospels, we read God's promises, well, then we feel hopeful. So often when you feel a problem in your life and you feel stressed a bit, if you open the Bible, you'll always have God's promise, and it gives you hope that God will help you in your situation and your problem. What strengthens our hope in our life? What are the things that strengthen our life, things in our life? What strengthens our hope in our life? Think of what God has done to you in the past. You want to strengthen the hope in your life. Think of what God has done for you in the past. How many things has God given you in the past? If you just take a minute now and see how gracious God has been to you, then you'll feel hopeful. And you'll find that God has given you so much. When you look at the span of your life, you'll find that God is always with you. And God has helped you. And God has been with you. And this gives you hope to continue. And you'll find that God has given you so much, and God has helped you in so much. Have you ever felt that God has left you?
Hello, how are you?
This is a Buenazora. That's all right. She wants to talk. So, have you ever felt that God has left you? In reality, you'll find that God has never left you. God has never left you. God will. You feel that God was always with you, so you feel hopeful. So when you're in a problem and you want to be strengthened by hope, think about the times God was always with you, and then your hope will increase. Think about how God has always been with you in your life. It's helped you in your exams, it's helped you in work, it's helped you in family, it's helped you with relationships, it helped you with so much things before. He's delivered so much for you, so you get strengthened in hope. When the other thing also that strengthens our hope is that when we read about saints who have lived in hope and have been delivered when they were in trouble, for example, like Joseph, for example, you know, when he was sold by his brothers, he ended up being what, one of, you know, Potiphar's, sorry, one of Pharaoh's second-rate governor in all of Egypt. Yeah, and he was responsible for, you know, all the affairs of Egypt. But yet he had so much tribulation, but he had hope in God. He had hope in God, and his vision and his sight was always on the Lord. David, for example, with Goliath, what was his hope? His hope was that the Lord will deliver him. We look at St. Monica, for example. What was her hope? Her hope that God will respond to it, and God did for Augustine. When her son Augustine was far away from God, all she did was hope in God and increased her hope day by day. For 20 years, she was praying for her son, but always never lost sight of hope and continues in her hope. We find also for example, in the church history, for example, someone like Pope Carolus, who, you know, in his time when he became Pope, he had so much tribulation. You know, people may think that this Pope Carolus, you know, was a man of prayer. For sure, he was a man of prayer. But he also endured so much tribulation to the point that, you know, a lot of people in his time didn't want him, actually. You know, there were even some bishops who didn't want the Pope because they felt, he is not an educated person. We needed a Pope who was educated. And there was a certain conspiracy against him that they wanted to oust him. And some of these bishops were, and some lay people as well, were conspiring. But Pope Carolus knew about it. But all he did was pray. All we did was just have hope that God will deliver him. And sure enough, you know, a lot of these people actually died before the conspiracy was fulfilled. We find that this in the history of the church, when you want to strengthen your hope, always look at the lives of saints. All of the saints went through some sort of tribulation, but they had hope. Saint Macarius, you know, he was accused of committing adultery and didn't say a word. You know, he didn't even defend himself, but waited for the right time, had hope in God until the time of the birth of this particular girl who accused him wrongly. She had fallen into adultery with somebody else and said that this monk, Macarius, was the one who did it and he raped me and so on. Didn't say a word. People humiliated him. The families ordered him to pay her, you know, like certain amount of money every week to support her. But St. Macarius for 9 months didn't say a single word. Until it was the time of her delivery, with the delivery of the baby, when she couldn't deliver, and she had to confess, and she was in severe pain, and she had to confess that what she did was wrong, and St. Macarius, and then they found out that he was a pure and holy man, and as soon as he found out that everyone knew that, he ran away. But he always had hope that God was going to deliver him, didn't despair, was not worried about him, was not fearful. We hear of people like, for example, Saint Abraham also. He went through tribulation. You know, he was accused of, you know, squandering the money of the diocese, and, you know, he was removed from his monastery. Somebody like John Chrysostom was sent to exile. Someone like Saint Athanasius, who said, you know, they said to him, "The whole world is against you, Athanasius," and he said, "I'm against the whole world." So we find that a lot of the saints, we read about their lives, will be encouraged in hope, and that we will have, when we have a certain problem, we know that God will eventually help us and deliver us from our tribulation and our problem. The next point, St. Paul talked to us about, how are we going for time? Okay, we've got a few more minutes. The next point St. Paul talked to us about was patience in tribulation, being patient in tribulation. Even though that we may be joyful with the Lord, it never excludes us from tribulation. It never excludes us from any kind of tribulation, because the Lord said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So tribulation is expected in our life, even as Christians. Even if we are people of God, we still can have tribulation. We're not excluded from tribulation. Therefore, those who have hope, right, will be patient in their tribulation. Those who have hope will be patient in their tribulation. When tribulation or problems comes, you will be patient, because he will have hope that at the end of the tribulation, God will relieve him from that tribulation. And he will have hope that God will solve his problem. When tribulation or problems come to us, we will be patient because we have the hope that at the end of the tribulation, we know that every tribulation has an end. Yani, don't think that your tribulation or problem will not end. And that's why St. Paul said, be patient in your tribulation. Know that God is going to solve it, and there's always an end to tribulation. There's always an end to your problem. Don't think that the problem is going to stay forever. No, there's going to be an end to the problem. God is going to solve that problem at some stage. Therefore, we see many verses in the Bible that give us this kind of patience, that we know that God is going to help us. In James chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation or affliction, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So we see that, you know, blessed are you when you endure tribulation, because this is a crown. In Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, "Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." All righteous people, all Christians, know that God will deliver you from your problem. You're a Christian, a good Christian, a good abiding Christian, know that God is going to deliver you from your tribulation. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all." Not just one or two, but all. He will deliver you from out of all your tribulation. Patience in tribulation is a Christian commandment. You know, St. Paul gave us this commandment. Be patient. Because the ordinary person has no patience. You know, if we were an ordinary person, he will always complain and whinge about his problem. And he'll even blaspheme against God. "Why does God do this to me? You know, God, there's no God. God does not exist." You know, a lot of people do that. But, Yes, that's right. But also, like, he was searching for the true God, you know. But there are people who blaspheme against God and just do not recognize the existence of God when something happens to them. They have weak faith, or they don't have faith at all. And they blaspheme against God, and they say, "There's no God. God is not. If God was there, this would not happen to me." You know, and this is the person who has no patience, who has no hope. So we find that, you know, some people can blaspheme against God. Some people will complain and whinge in their tribulation and their problem. But the faithful and the hopeful person will say, "Thank you, God. Thank you for the tribulation." It is difficult, because this is a very high level to say thank you in our tribulation. It is a high level. It is. But because we say thank you, there are crowns. God, you know, does not leave any tribulation without being rewarded. If God has allowed some sort of tribulation, for sure he will also give you a crown. He'll give you a blessing through that tribulation, and you will learn many things, which we will talk about in a few minutes. But I need to be patient because my patience. You need to be patient because my patience. Know that your patience will end in good. And that you, as we said, you know, God will give you blessings in that tribulation. And God will give you crowns. We need to understand that in any tribulation, there is a crown waiting for us in heaven. There's a crown waiting for us in heaven. You may say that if you know that there are crowns waiting for you in heaven, well, then some people might say, "Well, then please allow tribulation if there are crowns. If I'm going to get crowns in heaven, I'm going to get glory and honor and crowns in heaven," but then maybe people may think that this is a good thing, that even when tribulation comes, we will receive lots of crowns in heaven. Tribulation can also be a benefit, because many people can benefit from tribulation. And many people, when they're in tribulation, they actually get closer to God. You know, they get to know God more. They get to know Him better. Sometimes God allows tribulation so that for our benefit or for the people around us. And we see this all the time. You know, some people God may allow some certain tribulation for a person, but the people around him are the ones who benefit from it. That tribulation that God allows may change somebody from a certain sin that they were falling in. And they know, they may think that this is because of their sin. It might not be. But God can allow certain, and I've seen this, Yanni, in many cases where people, God allowed some certain tribulation, some disease, for example, that it changed the whole house. It changed the whole people around them. It changed the church. You know, when you hear of somebody who has tribulation in your church, the whole church prays for them. Everyone gets closer to God. Everyone is screaming to help that person. We get to know God more. We get to know God closer. We become, you know, zealous for the work of God to happen. And this is what happens in tribulation. Tribulation, God allows us to get closer to Him. And tribulation for people can be of a great benefit. Tribulation for people will give them crowns. I'll give you an illustration of one of the saints who said that without tribulation, we cannot enter into heaven. If we don't have tribulation in our lives, we don't have problems in our lives, we cannot enter the heaven. Why? Because if there was no tribulation at all on earth, or no problems, well then we will say to God, we don't want to leave the world. You know, why, everything is good here. Why should we go to heaven? Because we have no problem. Well, we would say that. But because God allows tribulation, we'll always long for heaven. We'll always want to go to heaven. Yeah, we'll say, I'm tired of this life. You know, I'm tired. There's so much problems. I'm really hoping and longing to go to heaven one day. So you know that one day you'll be in heaven. You'll long for heaven. But if everything was so good on earth, and everything was so rosy, and everything was no problems and everything, well, why would we want to long for heaven? We will say to God, please keep us on earth. You know, don't take us. So that's why, one of the saints said that without tribulation, there will be no heaven. We won't enter into heaven because we won't long for heaven. Another saint said that those who want to escape from tribulation, God escapes from them. So those who want to escape from tribulation, God escapes from them. God will not go after them. So tribulation can be of a benefit, and tribulation can be, in God's eyes, a crown and a blessing. You remember Job? Remember Job, who, when he had so much problems, Job became closer to God in his tribulation more than he did when he wasn't in tribulation. And that's why he said in Job 42, verse 5, he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ears. He heard of God. Yeah? I've heard of you by the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes see you. I've heard of you, Lord, but because I'm in tribulation, I see you. And this is a fact, that in tribulation, we see God. We get closer to God. By being patient in tribulation and not complaining and not having despair, remember that there are crowns for you, okay? Remember that, you know, at the end of your tribulation, God will give you crowns and blessing. The things that make us have patience in tribulation, what gives us patience in tribulation is always that when we look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we look at how great tribulation He went through. The kind of tribulation our Lord Jesus Christ went through was a tribulation that no person could withstand on earth. The amount of suffering and pain that our Lord went through, no one could withstand. That's the highest level of tribulation and suffering. So when you have tribulation, look at the cross, look at the pains of our Lord Jesus Christ, and look at the suffering and tribulation our Lord went through on the cross, and this will give you the hope that, you know, your tribulation is not that problem, not a not a not a very hard problem, you know. It's not a hard problem. You know, most of the time people, when they're in the tribulation, they will find that, you know, it is a difficult situation. You know, it's easier to talk about, you know, trying to not worry, but it's easy to say it, but harder to do. In tribulation, you may think that it is very, very hard. And it's not until after the tribulation that you feel that, you know, maybe it wasn't that hard. You know, a lot of people, when they're in tribulation, say, it's a little ill, you know, it's very heavy, it's a big burden. But rest assured that God will never give you more than what you can withstand. And St. Paul gives us this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He said, "And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So St. Paul was telling us that, you know, even though you may think that your burdens are very heavy, it's not more than what you can withstand. God will never give you anything greater than what you're capable of withstanding. Your tribulation will never be greater than your limit. This is what he was saying. Usually in the tribulation we think there's nothing greater. This is the greatest. I can't handle this anymore. You know, I'm so stressed, I'm so upset, I'm so this and that. It's not, and then you feel that this is the heaviest burden of your life. It's not until you actually go out of the tribulation, and the tribulation is over and the problems are over, that you feel, well, maybe it wasn't that hard. And then you feel about this verse, you see about this verse, you feel this verse, where he says that God will never give you more than what you can withstand. And that reminds me of a story of a person who used to say, "My cross is heavy, my cross is heavy, my cross is heavy." And it's like it's a mythical story. And then an angel appeared to him and said to him, "What's your problem?" And he said, "My cross is heavy," you know. He was carrying a cross. His cross was heavy, meaning that he had too many burdens in his life. But he was carrying a physical cross, which was heavy. So the angel said to him, "Come with me." And he took him into a room, and he went into this room, and there were all these crosses in the room, big crosses, small crosses, all kinds of crosses. He said, the angel said to him, "Put your cross down and go and choose a cross that you want to carry, that you feel that is not heavy." So he went around the room, picked up the first one, he said, "No, this is heavy." He picked up another one, he said, "No, this is heavy." He went around and around, all of the ones he picked up were heavy, and then he went to this other one, he picked it up, said, "Oh, this one feels good. This one doesn't feel as heavy." And then the angel looked at it and he said to him, "Do you know that this was the same cross you came in with?" So the story is, teaches us that God will never give you any heavier cross than what you can carry. You know, everything else can be heavier than what you can carry. But God knows your limits. God knows how much you can withstand. And he'll never give you more than that. What are the benefits of tribulation? And St. Paul said, patient in tribulation. What are the benefits of tribulation? What gives patient in tribulation is that tribulation will teach you many kinds of virtues. It will teach you virtues of simplicity. A person who has tribulation will be simple. I've got so much of a problem, I'm not going to worry about anything else, you know. If anyone says anything to you, do whatever you want. You know, you have that simplicity. Tribulation will also teach you the virtue of prayer. People who are in tribulation will pray more. We'll scream out to the Lord. We'll pray more prayers. Come to the church, come to the altar, and ask a bona to pray because they want God to solve their problem. So we build up the virtue of prayer. A lot of people in tribulation will fast for many days so that God will solve their problem. That's another virtue. And many people will make promises when they're in tribulation. They'll make promises and vows to the Lord that the Lord will help them, and that God will help them. And we find this in a lot of students do that, you know. And during exams, HSC time, they'll make promises, they'll make contracts, and that the God will help them. It's a form of tribulation that they're in. It's a part of in their life where there's a problem, there's something. They want something from God, so they'll make promises, they'll pray more. And we find a lot of the HEC students in the year of the HEC, those who are young, are very serious about their spiritual life, will find that the HEC year is the most blessed year of their life. This is the most blessed year and the most spiritual uplifting year of their life, because they built up these virtues, because they wanted something from God. They feel that they're in trouble. They feel that they need the hand of God. So we find in tribulation we build up different kinds of virtues that will help us in our spiritual life. Tribulation also teaches that the world is not worth it. You know, when a person is in tribulation, is not worth it. And if you give him something of pleasure, he's not going to enjoy it, and he's not going to be attracted to it. But those who have no tribulation find the world very attractive, and not until they enter into tribulation when they realize the world is really meaningless to them. Tribulation teaches us not to depend on the world. The world is nothing. It's so easy, you know. We will not enjoy things in the world. For example, you know, like somebody who has an illness, you know, the last thing you want to give him is something pleasurable from the world. You know, he's not concerned about that, but he's concerned about the relationship between him and God. From the blessings of tribulation, you get to feel about others. When you're in tribulation, when you have been through a tribulation or a problem, and somebody comes to you and has had that problem that you have had, you'll now understand that person. You'll feel how that person feels. If you went through some sort of grief of some kind, and the same person that you know has had that grief, you yourself will be able to comfort that person. You will know how that person feels. So tribulation gives us a better understanding of people around us. Tribulation also teach you not to just what the world is not worthy, but also that God is very near. And this reminds me of Psalm 94, verse 19. It said, "The multitude of my anxieties within me, and your comforts delight my soul." I'm anxious. I'm very anxious in my life, but God will always be the one who comforts me and delight in my soul. Delight means to enjoy, you know, like chocolate. You know, if you enjoy, who likes chocolate? Everyone likes chocolate. When you delight in something, you don't want it to enter, and that's and that's the delight of the Lord when we are delighting in His comfort. There are many things. What time is it? It's 9 o'clock. Tribulation taban has many benefits for us, and when God allows this in our lives, rest assured that we will be comforted if we really think and be patient that God will help us. God will always help us. And lastly, about tribulation, when we do suffer, you know, tribulation, it means also that we are sharing in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering. When you go through a problem of tribulation, think that God Himself, the Lord, suffered for us, and that He said for us that if we want to be His disciple, well, then we have to carry the cross. So when you are suffering or having tribulation, know that through this tribulation, you are entering through the narrow gate. You are entering through the narrow door towards heaven. Because the Lord said, you know, unless we carry our cross, well, then we cannot be the disciples. In tribulation, we become disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will enter through the narrow gate. God will allow us to enter through the narrow gate. Last thing that the last verse that St. Paul talked to us about is continuing steadfast in prayer. Continuing steadfast in prayer is very important. We cannot taste all the things that we have just said without having prayer. We cannot taste or be patient in tribulation unless we have prayer and be steadfast in prayer. Steadfast in prayer and continuous in prayer teaches us that we have hope and we have patience in our tribulation. Our problem today is that when we have a problem, We don't go to the Lord to solve our problem. We go to people, and we'll never find the solution in people. If you have a problem, even if the person gives you some sort of comfort, it's only temporary. The solutions to our problem is in your room, in your prayers to God. Your prayers to God will solve your problem. The rest of the times we speak to people about our problems, but we'll never find a solution. We'll always find a solution in God himself, the prayers in God. And that's what many of the saints did. You know, they say about one particular bishop, he said he used to solve all of his problems of the diocese in his room. He was lock himself in his room, and every problem that he has, he prays about it and it's solved. Pope Carlos was like that. Every problem he had, he prayed a mass to solve the problem. He prayed, every problem you have, don't let people be involved as much as God is being involved. Because God will give you the steadfast, God will give you the solution, he'll give you the answers. And if he doesn't give you the answer to your tribulation now, at least he'll give you comfort in your problem. He'll give you the able to withstand the problem. So prayer is very important. Do not neglect prayer in our problems or our in everyday life. You know, when you don't eat food, when you don't eat or drink, and the doctor will force you to eat, because if you don't eat and drink, you'll die, basically, and you will not be strengthened. So the doctors will force you to eat and drink food, and otherwise you won't be strengthened to be able to survive. The same with prayer. You know, prayer is the food for our spirit. And without prayer, we'll never be strengthened spiritually. Without prayer, you know, we'll not reap the virtues that we spoke about. You know, this does not bring patience and tribulation. We'll never have patience and tribulation with the 1 minute prayer. You'll never have it with the 1 minute prayer. You'll never have hope in your life with the 1 minute prayer. It comes with nice, sweet prayers, spending time with the Lord. This is when you'll have patience in your tribulation. And this is when you will have hope, joyous hope, enjoying the hope and being joyful and blessed. It doesn't come with 1 minute prayers. You know, it needs time. You need to spend time with the Lord. How else do we have a relationship with somebody? When you have a relationship with somebody, you need to speak to that person to have a relationship with you. Speak to them on the phone, you meet them, you go out and so on, and you build up a loving relationship with that person. That's the same with God. How am I supposed to have a loving relationship with God if I don't sit time with him and speak to him and talk to him? And, you know, your room is a very important place where you can meet God and spend time with the Lord. May the Lord give us strength always. I'm sorry to keep you long, and you know, because as I said, there were three topics here actually, and I tried to cover them in, you know, 45 minutes. And you know, these topics, Taban, are very nice, and I really enjoyed talking to you about them. In preparing them, I learned a lot myself. May the Lord bless you and give you all the joy and happiness, and may you live in hope and always be joyful in hope, and may the Lord give us patience in everyday life and everything that we do. Thank you very much. Happy feast day to you all, and kul sanam tayyibin. Thank you, Abuna. Glory be to God. Amen.